I guess I should start packing. Maybe like tomorrow.
All right, I will say good morning. Let's begin. All right, well, since we left off bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. So remember again, the Gemara spoke about yesterday, the Tikkun Gadol, the major Tikkun, the major enactment that they made in the Beis HaMikdash, the Simchat Beis HaShoeva, which turned out to be a balcony for the women. The Gemara spoke about the idea that in the beginning, they tried different positioning of men on the outside, women on the inside, women on the inside, men on the outside, but then, and unfortunately, inevitably, it led to some level of frivolity over the course of these celebrations, until the rabbis ultimately decided to create a balcony, and the women were on the balcony. So the Gemara says, but there's a problem. Hechi Avit Halki, last line of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, how were they able to do this? After all, the pasuk says, "Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alay yiskil." So the pasuk, the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Divrei HaYomim, and the pasuk in Divrei HaYomim indicates that the plans for the Beis Hamikdash were given from David to Shlomo b'ksav miyad Hashem, i.e., there were explicit instructions from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to David HaMelech transmitted to Shlomo as to how to build the Beis HaMikdash, which would indicate then that you're not permitted to simply change, you're not permitted to deviate, you're not permitted to add a balcony here, add a bedroom there, add a room over here. So how are they able to change it? Amarav kro ashkechu b'darosh. The truth is they found the Pasuk, Chazal found the Pasuk, and they darshened it. Now, interestingly enough, what does it mean they found the pasuk? If you look at the last Rashi in Amud Beis, Rashi says, "Kra ashkehu shetarach lahavdil anoshim minoshim." They found the pasuk that indicated this idea that there should be a separation between men and women during what we'll call religious services. The la'asos geder b'yisro shalo yavo olidei kilkul, in order that there not come any frivolity or immorality as a result. So top of Nun Beis, what's the pasuk that they found the darshan? So the quote of the pasuk is actually quite amazing. It's a pasuk from Zechariah, and the pasuk says the following: "V'sapta ha'aretz mishpachos mishorsim mishpachos mishpachos." The whole land. This is talking about some major funeral. We'll discuss whose funeral it is in just a little bit, but the entire land will eulogize mishpachos mishpachos levad, each family by itself. Mishpachas beis David levad unisheim levad, the family of David HaMelech by itself and the women by themselves. Oh, so Moses, the pasuk goes on to say mishpachas beis David levad, mishpachas beis Nasan levad, unisheim levad. So it goes through each of the families that will eulogize, and what it discusses that the families will not well. When I see this, it really means more that at this levaya, the men will be sitting separately and the women will be sitting separately. So Chazal understood from this pasuk in Zechariah that there is this concept that by gatherings, men and women should be separate. Men and women should be separate. So the Gemara says, Va'amru, and they said, V'halol dvarm kal v'chomer. The truth is, what's the kal v'chomer? Uma lo asid lavo sha'oskin behesped. Now in the future, this pasuk in Zechariah is referring to a funeral. V'ein yitzer hara sholit b'hem. And I will say, if there's one event that you shouldn't have to worry too much about mingling and leading to inappropriate behavior, it's generally a funeral, right? The hope is that at least at a funeral, people are a little bit more contemplative and a little bit aware of the importance of their actions. And yet, nevertheless, what does the Navi say? And yet the Navi says, Amra Torah, Anoshim Levad, the Noshim Levad. When it says Torah over here, it means the Navi. And yet the Navi still says that the men should be there by themselves and the women should be by themselves. There should be a separation. Achshav she'oskin v'simcha. Now over here, referring to the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, that we are dealing with Simcha, the Yitzhahara Sholibim. Again, you know, the interesting part is that even though it is a Kadosh Simcha, even though, again, this is a Simchas Beis HaShoeva in the Beis HaMikdash, but when it's very easy for Kadosh Simcha to slip into or to morph into frivolity. So over here, we're dealing with Simcha, the Yitzhahara is present, Alachas kama v'kama, all the more so that there should be a separation between the men and women. So I'll say here, so therefore this was the pasuk that the rabbi, this pasuk in Zechariah was the pasuk that the rabbis darshaned that felt that set a precedent for the concept of separation of men and women by religious services. And they used this as the license to be able to create a physical change in the Beis HaMikdash itself by creating the balcony. In fact, so again, the Tshuvas about, so as I mentioned yesterday, this Gemara is the makar for the concept of Mechitza, the makar for the concept ultimately, again, of creating a separation. It's actually interesting as well, because what you also see from this Gemara is that the idea of Mechitza is not to obstruct view. The idea of Mechitza is to create a separation so that socialization does not occur, which obviously is very interesting in Mechitzas as well. So it says Mechitza does not have to totally obstruct the view of men from women. It's really, again, it's interesting, although the Gemara seems to indicate that both parties were at fault over here for their frivolity, clearly in the laws of Mechitza, the halach is reflected as being an issue with men and not being an issue with the women. In any event, the point over here you see is that the goal is that it be some type of obstruction to socialization during religious services. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Ha'espeda mayavidite. So we'll say the Gemara asks over here, what's this funeral, right? Whose funeral is this? First of all, it's obviously some major funeral because at the end of the day, you have all of the important families of Klal Yisrael that are there. Everybody's assembled. Whose hesped is this? Supposed to say, this is amazing. Pligiba Rabbi Dosef Rabbanam. So Rabbi Dosef Rabbanam had a disagreement. What's the disagreement? Chad Amar Al Yetzer Hara. Chad Amar Al Mashiach Ben Yosef Shenera. One says that this is the Levaya. This is going to be the funeral for Mashiach Ben Yosef, who is going to be killed. They're both saying, remember, again, we'll discuss a little bit more in depth, but according to some traditions, there are actually two different Mashiachs. There are actually two different Messiahs. Mashiach Ben Yosef is the leader who leads us in the war of Gog and Magog, that ultimate showdown of good versus evil, and he dies in that war. He dies in that war. After he dies, we are victorious in that war. After he dies, that paves way for Mashiach ben David, who is the ultimate messianic king. So some say that this Levaya that everyone's going to attend is the Levaya of Mashiach ben Yosef. The Chadam or others say, listen to this, Al Yetzer Hara Sheneherag. This is amazing. This is the Levaya for the Yetzer Hara. Because in the messianic era, we're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is going to destroy, going to slaughter the Yetzer Hara. This is the Levaya for the Yetzer Hara. So, Bishlam Alamando Arma Amashiach ben Yosef Sheneherag. So it makes sense according to the opinion who says that this is the Levi from Mashiach ben Yosef, Hainu Dichsev, because that's what the pasuk means when it says in Zechariah, Ve'bitu Eli, they will look towards me, Es Asher Dakru, about the one who was, Dakru literally means stabbed, about the one who was murdered, V'saptu Alav, and they will eulogize for him, K'mispeit Al Hayochid, like one mourns for an only child. So it's like, so therefore that pasuk seems to support this day of Mashiach ben Yosef, because they're mourning over an individual. An individual has died, and the feeling of loss is like one who lost an only child, chas v'shalom. El amando amar al yitzahara shenerag, hayes peida b'ilam avid. But according to the opinion who says that this is about this is the levaya for the yitzahara, should there really be such a mournful levaya for the yitzahara? Simcha b'ilam avid. We should rejoice, we should throw a party. When the yitzahara is destroyed, mamash, it should be a major party for everyone. So, my bach, why is everybody crying? Well, so listen to this. This is such a beautiful Gemara. Kedidarish Rabbi Yehuda. As Rabbi Yehuda darshan, La Asid Lavo, in the future, Meviu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yitzhara, V'shachto B'fnei HaTzadikim B'fnei HaRishon. In the future, in the Messianic era, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the Yitzhara, and he's going to slaughter it. He's going to destroy it in front of the Tzadikim, in front of the righteous, and in front of the wicked. And watch this. So, Tzadikim, Tzadikim nidma lahem kahar gavoa. For the tzadikim, the Yetzirah looks like a very tall mountain. A very tall mountain. I will say, what does that mean? That the tzadikim spent, the Yetzirah was a constant foe. A constant foe. And it was like a mountain. You know what kind of mountain? It was the kind of mountain that every single time you think you reach the top, what happens? Right? There's another 500 feet that's added, and you still have to keep climbing. Every single time you think that you've made headway, there's still more to climb. Or b'fnei rishayim, excuse me, tzadikim rishayim nitma lahem kichot asara. But yet for the wicked, this is so interesting, for the wicked, the Yitzhara looks like a simple thin strand of hair that could just be simply ripped apart. Halalu bochim v'halalu bochim. So when the righteous see the Yitzhara and when the wicked see the Yitzhara, everybody's going to cry. Tzadikim bochim, the righteous cry because they say v'omrim, Heich yachalunu lichbosh har gavoa kazeh. The tzaddikim will say, the tzaddikim will see it, and they will say, how are we ever able to conquer such a tall mountain? We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Tzadikim bochim, shenis karim mitzaram, they remember their pain. Shahay lahem lichpos hara hazeh b'chayim. Both say, you know, dealing with the Yetzirah is very difficult. Dealing with the Yetzirah is a constant daily struggle. And so the tzaddikim see the Yetzirah, and yet the what makes the tzaddik a tzaddik is not just how much Torah he learns, how many mitzvot he does, it's his ability to exhibit self-control. What makes the tzaddik a tzaddik is that the tzaddik is able to, if not master, at least work on the midah of restraint. He doesn't give in to every will. He doesn't give in to every desire. So the tzaddik sees the Yetzirah and he sees this huge mountain and he cries because he remembers all of the agmas nefesh. He remembers all of the pain. He remembers all the struggle that he had to endure throughout his life. Urishan Bachma said, this is wild. And the wicked cry. Why do the wicked cry? Va'omrin. Heich lo yichalunu lichbosh eschut ha-sa'ara hazeh. Most remember, to the wicked, the Yetzirah looks like such a thin hair. And the wicked say, you know what? We gave in to the Yetzirah every single time in life. Why? It would have been so easy to overcome it. It would have been so easy to simply snap that hair. It would have been so easy to exercise restraint. And now again, Abba say, remember, at the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu slaughters the Yetzirah, it's too late. Whatever is done is done. There is no reversibility anymore. So the tzaddikim cry because they realize how much they have. They cry over the struggle of an entire life spent battling the Yetzirah. The wicked cry because they didn't struggle and because they realize how easy it would have been to live a proper life. But yet, they chose not to. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tamei imam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also shares the bewilderment of the tzaddikim and the rishayim. Shenemar, ka'amar Hashem tzivakos. Ki pale be'inai she'iris ha'amazeh be'yomim ha'im gam be'inai yipale. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that it will also be a wonderment in my eyes. I will also wonder how the tzaddikim were able to overcome this adversity and how the rishon were never able to muster up the inner strength to be able to show some restraint. So here's what we know. This Levaya and Zechariah serves as the paradigm, serve as the proof text for the constant separation between men and women during religious services. The Shaila just is, whose Levaya is it? So one man, the Amr, is the Levaya of Mashiach ben Yosef. Other man, the Amr, is the Levaya of the Yetzirah. And even at Levaya of Yetzirah, there's going to be plenty of tears. The Tzaddikim, because they're going to remember the struggles of a lifetime of combating the Yetzirah. And the Rishayim, shedding tears of having never had the strength to really put forward the necessary self-restraint when it would have been so easy to lead a meaningful life. Amr Rabasi. Rabbi Asi says the following. We'll say another beautiful Gemara. Yetzirah betchila doma l'chut shel bukhya. Ulubasov domel ka'avosos ha'agala. So Rabbi Yassi says that in the beginning Yetzirah is like a spider web. Chut shel bukhya is like a spider web. But what does that mean? That in the beginning, if from the moment you begin life, you begin fighting Yetzirah, you can conquer him. You can conquer him. Yes, he spins a web, but the good news is the web is just like a spider web. And how can you get rid of a spider web? You know, one little fell swoop of your hand and a very little effort. If you begin from the beginning, if you start from the beginning to combat the Yetzirah and never allow him to entrench himself in your life, he will be like a spider that you can simply swipe away. Ulubasov, however, if you allow him to get entrenched in your life, dome ka'avosos ha'agola, he is like the ropes of a cart. So we'll say the ropes of a cart are the ropes that tether the animal to the cart. And those are obviously very thick and strong ropes. So the idea is, if you combat the Yetzirah from the beginning, he never has a chance to really get entrenched within you. So you can just simply swipe him away. But if you allow him to get entrenched in you, he gets a hold. He gets a hold, and that hold is like the thick ropes of the cart. Shina Emar, because the pasuk is in Yeshaya, hoi means oi. Hoi moshchei ha'avon b'chevli ha'shav. Woe to the ones who go ahead and literally pull the sin with ropes of nothingness. Uka'avosos ha'agala chata'a. And like the ropes of the cart is like sin. So the Gemara goes, v'yitutan rabbanon. The Gemara quotes, Mashiach ben David, she'asid l'higalos mihira b'yamin. It was another beautiful Gemara. So Mashiach ben David, who is going to be revealed speedily in our days, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sh'al b'meni davar, v'atein l'cha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Mashiach ben David, you ask me for something, and I will give it to you. Ask me for something, and I'll give it to you. So Shnei Emar, because the Pasuk says, Es sapra al-chok, ani hayom yilarticha, sh'al b'meni, v'etne agoy mechalos echa. Now remember, Mashiach ben David is around at the time of Gog and Magog, and he sees Mashiach ben Yosef die in that war. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu very simply, Omer the father of Ribono Shel Olam, Eini Mevakesh Mimcha Elachaim. I have one request from you, and the one request is, let me live. Give me life. I don't want to share the same end as Mashiach ben Yosef. Let me live. Now we'll say he's not asking for eternal life. What is he asking? Mashiach ben Yosef dies in the process of Geula. What Mashiach ben David is asking for is, let me see the actualization of this redemption process. Don't let me die mid-process. Let me see it through to the end. Chaim. Achla Marta Kvar Hisnavi Alecha David Avicha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Mashiach ben David, it's interesting that you ask for life, because before you even lodge this request, your father, the Alter Zayde David, already asked this of you for you. Shine Amar Chaim Sha'amimecha Nasata Lo. The life that he asked from you, please give to him. Dara Shabavi Rabbi Tim Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Shiva Shemos, there are seven names. Shiva Shemos Yeshua Yitzhara. There are seven names for the Yitzhara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karara, God called the Yitzhara evil, Shinemar, Ki Yitzhalev Ha'adam Raminu Arav. Because literally the inclination of man's heart is evil from his youth. I will say, just the Gemara Maseches Brachos calls this as well. It's interesting, by the way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the Yitzhara evil, because after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. So the Gemara says, sometimes when someone creates something, they take a certain pride in it. You see how terrible the Yitzhara is, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, he is the craftsman, even he calls it Ra. Okay. Moshe Kro Arel. Moshe called the Yitzhara an Arel. Arel means an uncircumcised one. Shine Emar, Umaltem as Orlas Levavchem. David, you shall circumcise the foreskin of your heart. David Karao Tami. David called the Yitzhara Tami. Shine Emar, Leif Tahor Berali Elokim. Because David says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has created me with a pure heart. Nechlal di ikotame. So we'll say the fact that David has to say that my heart is pure indicates that what? That there's something else that's trying to offset that purity, i.e. an innate tuma. What is that innate tuma? Says David, that's the Yitzhara. Shlomo karo sone. Shlomo called the Yitzhara an enemy. Shene emar. Imro'iv sonacha. If your enemy, which is actually a very beautiful idea, if your enemy is hungry, so again, the enemy over here refers to the Yitzhara, right? If the Yitzhara is hungry for sin, wants to cause you to sin, ha'achiluhu lechem, feed him bread, v'im tzamein if he's thirsty, hashkeyu mayim, give him water, ki gicholim ata chota arosho, for you are literally stoking the fire, stoking the coals on his head. And I'm about to say, just look at Rashi for just a moment. What does it mean? We know that if your enemy is hungry, that enemy is the Yitzhara, he's hungry for sin. So how do you combat the Yitzhara? Hechilu lechem, Rashi says, hachvicheu b'milchamta shel Torah, d'chsiv l'chu lachmu b'lachmi. So I will say, interestingly enough, the way Rashi understands lechem, is lechem is not bread, lechem is lashon milchama. Feed him war. I will say, what does this mean? Get him involved in the war of Torah. Rashi's not saying take him to learn Torah, that's next. He's saying take him to fight the battle. What does that mean? I will say, why do people sin? At the end of the day, why do people sin? Really? Right? No one knows, Baruch Hashem. Right? So clinical tests have shown that people sin because they have too much time on their hands. Mm-hmm. That's we get into trouble when there's downtime. So what does Rashi say? Achilo lechem? Get involved in the war of Torah. Meaning, occupy yourself. And you know what happens? The truth is, when you are busy, and when you're busy and you're exhausted, being exhausted is the greatest bracha in life. Why? Because the truth is, even if your Yitzhara is like a raging fire, your Pasha just too tired. And the truth is, there is incredible wisdom to that. Tire yourself out. Get involved in the war of Torah. Become exhausted through good things, and you'll simply see you have no energy to sin. What does it mean? Hashkeyu Mayim Rashi says, this Mayim Rashi is Torah. D'chsiv ba kol tzame l'chu l'mayim. So we'll say again, hechileu lechem means not just simply get involved in Torah, but get involved, tire yourself with Torah, tire yourself with mitzvos, tire yourself with productive activities, you'll have no energy to sin. And hashkeyu mayim, give him the drink of water, and water, so if the concept of tiring oneself with productive activity, coupled with Talmud Torah, will extinguish the fire, will extinguish the appetite of the Yetzer Hara. Fine. So the Gemara goes weiter. Vashem Yishalimcha, Al Tikri Yishalim. Sorry, I'm going to redefend the pasuk. Vashem Yishalimcha, Al Tikri Yishalim. Don't read it like Yishalim. Ela Yashlimenu Lecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will literally come or pacify the Yetzer Hara for you. Yeshaya karo karo mishcho. What's that first wide line on Nun Beis and Aleph? Yeshaya called the Yitzhara a stumbling block. Shene emar solu solu panu panu derech harimu mishcho mi derech hami. Turn away, clear the way, and remove the obstacle that is in the pathway of my people. Yecheskel karo even. Yecheskel called the Yitzhara a stone. Shene emar vasirosi eslev ha'even mibsarchem. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, then asati lochem leiv basar, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Yoel karaot tzafoni. Yoel called the Yitzhara tzafoni. Shene emar, ve'es hatzafoni archik me'aleichem. I will distance, we'll say, literally tzafoni means the northern one. We'll see what it means over here. It means I will distance the tzafoni from you. Tan rabbana ve'es hatzafoni archik me'aleichem. Who is the tzafoni? Ze Yetzer Hara. This refers to the Yetzer Hara. Why is Yetzer called Tzafoni? Shet Tzafun v'omid belibo shel Adam. Why? Because he's hidden and remains in the heart of man. So you will say the amazing part is the Yetzer Hara often does not necessarily present himself as the Yetzer Hara. He lays hidden in the heart of man, often cloaks himself with many robes of piety and righteousness. See, he's the Tzafoni, he's the one who remains hidden. And a person has to seek him out, identify him in order to be able to vanquish him. V'idachtiv el eretz tzio v'ushimama, I will banish him, I the Yitzhara, to eretz tzio shimama, land of desolation. L'makom she'in b'nei adam mitzuyin l'skaros b'hem, to a place where ultimately, again, he will not be able to start up with people. Es panav el ayama kadmoni, he set his face to the yama kadmoni, shenosan inim ha'mikdash rishon. The Yitzhara was set on destroying the first temple. And he was successful by enticing us to sin. And as a result, the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Tamidi Chachamim were killed. V'safu el hayam ha'achron. What does it mean? He looked to the last scene. Shenason einu b'mikdash sheni. He set his eyes upon the second temple. V'echrivu. And he destroyed it. V'harag tamidi Chachamim sheba. And caused Torah scholars to be killed. V'ala ba'asho. The foul odor came, arose. V'ta'al tzachanto. Tzachanoso. Excuse me. The stench also rose up. Shemaniach umos ha'olam umiskara b'shem shel Yisrael. Also, you know what the amazing part about the Yitzhar is? He seems to leave everyone else alone and start up with us. Right? It's amazing. Now, the Yitzhar seems to have a special affinity for Klal Yisrael. Ki higdil la'asos amra abaye b'tamidi chachamim yosra mikulam. And we'll say, says Abaye, and the Yitzhar seems to start up with tamidi chachamim more than anyone else. More than, we'll say, of course you understand that when the Gemara seems to be blaming the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara is not absolving people of responsibility. But the Gemara is just pointing, when the Gemara blames the Yetzer Hara, the Gemara is saying is that man at his core is good. Man at his core is good and desires to do good. It's just that we have this drive within us called the Yetzer Hara that often entices and lures us to sin, and too often we follow its direction. So what's I say? So this idea now, Abaye says that Tamidei Chachamim have a greater Yitzhara than regular people. Listen to the story, what's saying? This is amazing. Kiyada Abaye, Shamilahu Garvada, Ka'amar Lahahi Isisa, Naktim V'Nezel Ba'archa. Abaye heard a particular man speaking to a particular woman, and he said, and the man said to the woman, let's get up early and travel on our way. Now, we'll say this was an innocent statement here. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Nakti b'nezel b'orcha, nashkin b'hashkama kodim ayom." Let's get up early. Again, this is not a married man and woman. This is a single man and woman. And what happens? Let's get up early, kodim ayom, before the dawn. Hashkama kari kadmusa. And what happens? They were traveling apparently towards the same direction, not to the same place, but in the same direction. Let's set out on our journey together. Okay. So what happened? What happened? Amar Ezel Afar Shinhu Meisura. Sabai said, you know what? I'm gonna follow behind them because they're gonna be walking in remote areas. And I'm gonna chaperone. I wanna make sure that nothing happens. Well, this is an amazing story. So Azal Basrayu Tlasa Parsi. Now obviously the men and women are unaware of Abaye's presence. So what happens? Abaye travels them for three parsos and Ba'agma, and they're in a meadow. So at this point in time, they went as far together as they could, and they each had to go their separate directions. Listen to this. Ki av a parsha me'adali. It's actually such a beautiful statement. Sham inu dekamri. He heard them say to each other, Archin rechika. Our destinations are far apart from one another. Vitzavsa besima. But how nice it would have been to be able to travel together. So they enjoyed each other's company. They said, we can't go on anymore from here. But how nice it would have been. It's such a beautiful statement. How nice it would have been to be able to travel together. And they went their separate ways. Amr Abaye. So also listen to this. Abaye said, I man disanili hava. If I was traveling with the one who hated me. I will say, what does it mean if I was traveling with the one who hated me? If I was traveling with my Yetzirah, right? If I was this guy, and I was traveling and my Yetzirah was with me, lo have mati lo ukmei nafshei. There is no way I could have resisted sinning with this woman. Meaning, apparently, again, this couple had a connection and had the man initiated a romantic encounter. She would have been receptive to it, but he didn't. Abaye says, if I was that guy, I would have absolutely taken advantage of this situation. There is no way I could have resisted that temptation. And what happens? I will say, just by the way, first of all, it's an incredible statement. You know, people, the greatest mistake that people make in life is that people think that they're above certain temptations. It's pashut not true. Nobody's above any kind of temptation. And given the right circumstances, given the opportunities, a person has to be very nervous that they would take that opportunity. That's why, again, that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom osecha. Don't believe in yourself. Which means don't believe that you are above sin until the day that you, when you're dead, you're above sin. But until that day, you are not above sin. So Abaye now is very depressed. Azal tala nafshe bi'ibura didashim etztair. Abaye literally went, tala nafshe bi'ibura didashim means he leaned against the door bolt. I don't know why that's important, but the point is he went back home and he was leaning against the doorpost. Umetztair, he was very upset. And I said, why was he upset? Because he said to himself, listen, I'm a baye. This guy was a regular guy. And yet what? He clearly liked this girl. He clearly liked her. But yet what? He was able to restrain himself. How could it be that I know myself, and if I was in that same situation and no one else was around and she was willing, that I would have engaged in a relationship with her? So Abaye was depressed that how could it be that this regular guy could have this restraint and I don't? I'm proud of you. That was restraint. Good. Asahu Saba. There was an older man who came along and said, Tanale, Kala Gadol Mechadero, Yitzra Gadol Hemero. Kazabosai. Again, Saba. Now, interestingly enough, very often when we hear about an old man appearing out of nowhere, very often that's a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi, although it doesn't have to be. So an old man appeared out of nowhere and said to Abaye, just know, the greater you are, the more intense your Yetzer Hara. The greater you are, which I both say makes sense, because remember, Kiddusha and Tuma and Tara, right? Holiness and unholiness, purity, impurity are two sides of the same coin. The more intense one is, the greater the capacity for the other is as well. So the Sabbath says, Tabai, the greater you are, the greater your Yetzahara works against you for your own undoing. So don't be surprised that you are Abaye, that you have a greater Yetzahara than the Stam guy who you saw on the road. Amrav Yitzchak, Yitzro shall Adam Miskabra Allah Bechoyom. The Yetzahara of a person goes stronger against them each and every day. Shine Emar, because the Pasuk says, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. The Pasuk says, it is only evil all day. What the Gemara is picking up on is this Kol Hayom. The Yetzahara does not relent. The Yetzahara does not stop. No matter how many times you vanquish him, no matter how many times you're able to overcome him, the Yetzahara always rebounds and always becomes stronger. Arab Shimon Lakish, Yitro Shal Adam Miskabra Alav Bechol Yom. The Yetzahara of a man literally becomes stronger upon him every single day. And seeks to destroy him. I will say again, we've spoken about this before. The great anomaly of this is that under normal circumstances, the more proficient you become with something in life, the easier it is to do it. So one would have thought that the more proficient you become in resisting temptation, the more proficient you become in fighting Yetzahara, the easier it becomes over time. And the truth, the Gemara is saying, is not necessarily true. Because in fact, the way the Yetzirah works is the more successful you are in keeping him at bay, the stronger he becomes to try to make advances. Shine Emar, Sofa Rasha Latzadik, the wicked one looks upon the righteous, Umavakish Lahamiso, and wants to kill him. The Ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'ozelo, and we're not for the fact that God himself actively helps us combat the Yetzirah. Eino yacholo. We would not be able to overtake the Yitzhar. Shene emar, Hashem lo ya'azvenu biyado. The Kadosh Baruch Hu will not leave us in his hand the Yitzhar. Lo yashinu bihishavto. And will not condemn us when judging us. Tana debi Rabbi Yishmael. In paga b'cham nuvel zeh. We'll say, if you bump into the Yitzhar, right? So I'm minding my own business. That sometimes happens. And for some reason, this Yitzhar just comes at me with an intensity. So if I bump into that Menovel, I bump into the Yitzhar, what should I do? Mashchil le-Beis HaMedrash. Pull him into the Beis HaMedrash. Pull him into the Beis HaMedrash. Why? And what's going to happen? Im even hu, because if the Yitzhar is as strong as rock, Nimoach, he will dissolve. Im barzel hu, and if he's like strong like iron, Mispotzeitz, he will shatter. Im even hu nimoach, what does it mean if he's like a stone, he will dissolve? Chsiv, hoy kol tzame. Right? Woe to all of those who are thirsty. Lichu lemayim, come to the water. Uksiv, and remember, water is a reference to Torah. So bring him to the water. Uksiv, what does it say? Avonim shachaku mayim. That water has a way of wearing down even the strongest and largest of stones. So if the Yitzhar is as strong as stone, the water of Torah can help to offset him. In Barzahu, if he's like iron, mispotzeitz. Ultimately, again, he will mispotzeitz. He will shatter. Because the pasuk says, "Halokol devarai keish no'um Hashem." My words are like fire, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ukipatish yifutzatz sela, and like a hammer that will shatter the stone. So the word of Hashem, Torah, is like a hammer that can shatter the stone of Yitzhar. Suppose the idea is also very interesting. What the Gemara is saying over here is that sometimes the only way to combat the Yitzhar is by bolstering positive influences in life. You know, life is a very fine balance. Spiritual life is a fine balance. On one hand, is Rabbi Yitzchak of Bridish of comments. He says the pasuk says surmeira v'yaseh tov. That before you can do good, you have to first remove the negativity from life. You have to, because again, if you just try to do good without addressing that which is negative, so the Rebbe says that's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. That's like going to the mikvah, but the sheretz, the source of impurities, in your hand. So you can't just do good without addressing negativity. You have to address the negativity and then do good. But sometimes in life, you need to develop a little bit of positive traction. Sometimes you're in such a bad place that you just need to get things going in a different direction. That's the Gemara saying over here. If you encounter the Yitzhara, and for some reason you just can't vanquish him, bolster yourself, surround yourself with positive influences. What does it mean, bring him into the Beis Medrash? It means surround yourself with Torah, surround yourself with Ruchnius, surround yourself with Chesed, with Mitzos. Build positive influences into your life, and that will begin the process of neutralizing Yitzhara. Amar Rav Shlomo Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan. Yitzhara, masisa la'adam bi'olam hazeh. This is like a double whammy. Listen to this. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, Rabbi Yonasan, the Yitzhara entices me in this world, and then he testifies against me in the world to come. It's meaning he's the catalyst for my sin in this world. And then after 120, he is the prosecution's star witness, right? In indicating again what I did not do correctly in life. Shene Amar, because the pasuk says, Mifanek minor avdo. One who goes to Rabbi Yonasan and pampers his servant too much. In the end, it will be his ruler. So I'll say this pasuk over here is from Mishnah. It's actually a very profound pasuk. The Eved in this pasuk is the Yetzihara. The Yetzihara is my Eved, is my servant. What does that mean? That should I choose to subdue the Yetzihara and not give in to him, I would have that ability. I have that koach. I have that koach. But instead, what ends up happening often, not only do I not subdue him, I pamper him. Just understand, says the Pasuk in Mishlei, if you pamper the servant will become the master. A very profound Pasuk. The servant, the Eved, will become the Manom, the ruler. Shekein ba'atbach shor abichia. We're not getting into this now, but Rashi points out over here, Atbach was one of these alphabet substitution models. You know, we have Atbach, Atbash. This idea that you'd be able to line up certain letters with other letters, which would yield other letter-like combinations with same meanings but different words. In the Atbach model of Rabbi Chiya, Korin l'sada manon, they would call this the word for a sada. Rabbi Yosei is a witness. The word for a witness was manon. So you see again that manon could mean ruler, manon could mean witness. If you allow the Yitzhara to become a ruler, you allow the Yitzhara to rule you in life. Ultimately, not only will he rule you in life, but what else? he'll become a witness against you in Olam Haba. So the Gemara goes right there. Rav Huna Ramik Siv. Rav Huna contrasts two psukim. On one hand, the pasuk says, Ki ruach zinunim hit'a. On one hand, the pasuk says that a spirit of immorality caused him to make a mistake. And the pasuk says, Uksiv bekirbam betchila hit'am ulebas, excuse me, bekirbam, that the Yitzhahara is within you. The Yitzhahara is with, literally bekirbam within them. Rabbi will say, what's the chiluk over here? If you look at Rashi, for just a moment, Rashi says, hit'am ta'us ba'alma. So I'll say, the word hit'am, the first pasuk that the Gemara quotes, of kiruach zinunim hit'a, seems to indicate that when a person makes a mistake, it's just that. It's a mistake. It's a toast. So the first pasuk seems to indicate that Yitzhahara is not really embedded within me. Just sometimes he kind of tunnels his way in and allows you to make an occasional mistake. The second pasuk said the Yitzhahara is bikirbam in their kishkas, within us, which seems to indicate that the Yitzhahara is an embedded influence in my life. So which one is it? Is the Yitzhahara just an occasional visitor, or is he embedded in my life? To which the Gemara says both. Betchila hit'am. In the beginning, Rabbi Osai, the Yitzhahara doesn't have control over me. And therefore what? It's just incidental. He's a visitor. It's a ta'ut. It's a mistake. But he's not embedded in me. But then what happens? If I sin enough times, Rabbi Osai, what ends up happening? Ulubasov bikirbam. In the end, the Yitzhahara becomes a resident. The Yitzhahara ultimately becomes embedded within, which was that we understand, just the more one engages in negative behavior, the more ingrained that behavior becomes. So the first time it happens, it's a mistake. It's an outlier. I'm never going to do it again. But as the behavior is repeated and becomes sustained behavior, ultimately, the Yitzhahara becomes embedded within. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, betchila kara holeich, ulubasov kara oreach, ulubasov kara ish. In the beginning, the Yitzhahara is called the holeich. I will say holech means a traveler, meaning he's just someone who stops in. He's not here to stay. Then he's called a guest. So we'll say, let's do between a traveler and a guest. So a traveler might just stop in for a few minutes. A guest makes himself comfortable for a little while. Ulebasov kuro ish. And then the pasuk calls the Yitzhar ish a man. I will say ish seems to indicate that what? He balabas, right? He's here. Shene emar, because the pasuk says, and I will say it's actually interesting. This is the pasuk in Shmuel Beis. This is the pasuk where Nasan Hanavi confronts David after the episode with Bathsheba and gives David the mashal. Remember, the mashal that he gave David was of a rich man who had a whole flock of sheep. Someone comes to visit the rich man. The rich man wants to go ahead and prepare for his guest, a suda. And what does he do? Instead of taking a sheep from his own flock, there's a poor man who lives next door, and the poor man has one sheep. And he takes the poor man's sheep, slaughters it, and feeds it to his guest. So the Gemara says, Vayavo helech li'isha ashir, because the pasuk says, and a traveler came to visit the rich man. Vayachmo lakachas mitzono umi bekaro. And for whatever reason, the rich man did not want to take of his own sheep and of his own cattle. La'asos lo'reach, to make for the guest. So I will say again, first he's called the helech, the Yitzhahara came. Right? The Yitzhahara came, he's called the helech. And then what happens? He settles in a little bit more, and he's called an oreach. Oh, now he's a guest. What happens? Vayikach haskiv sas ha'ish harash. The rich man took the only sheep of the poor man. Vayase le'ish haboilav. And he slaughtered the sheep and made it as a meal for the ish. The ish represents the Yitzhahara, who's now again a resident in his home. On Rabbi Yochanan, we'll say another amazing Gemara. Ever katan yish la'adam. Man has a small organ. We'll say Rashi says over here, Rashi says, Ever katan gviya hagid. It's talking about the male organ. Right? So a person has a small organ on his body. Yeshlo Adam, Marivo is a very profound Gemara also. Marivo Savea. If he starves it, it becomes sated. Masbio Roiv. The more he sates it, the hungrier it becomes. I will say, now what does this mean? If you look at Rashi and Tosafos have two different understandings of this. So Rashi is over here, Masbio Betashmish. If he satisfies that aver with relations, then what happens? Says Rashi, Ra'iv. Gufo chaser koach, v'ra'iv le'is zikna. So apparently Rashi is according to the Gemara. What the Gemara is saying is that a person who engages in excessive relations, and again, it could be permitted, but I guess what the Gemara will go excessive, ultimately, again, saps one of their vitality. and a person ages prematurely and has less koach in their old age. Saveya, on the other hand, if a person engages in less relations, then it says the Gemara Rashi, a person has greater vigor. So according to Rashi, therefore, this whole idea of sating represents too much relations, and therefore again, ra'iv means a person will be lacking physical vitality in their old age. Tosfos has a different understanding. Tosfos says, Shemarbe betashmish bayom ubalayla. Tosfos has a different idea over here, that according to Tosfos, what the Gemara is saying over here is that a person may think that the more they engage in relations, the more they were able to quiet their desire. But Tosfos actually works just the opposite, that the more one engages in sexual relations, so the more one desires it. The more one feeds the desire, the greater the desire becomes. And it's actually interesting, Tosfos points out over here from the Gemara Sanhedrin, Gabe Uvda de David, Sha'amar Bechanini Hashem Benasini, Dika'amar Miyad Le'isar Vayakos. So also listen to this. So I'll just say this outside. The Navi says to David that David's going to be tested in a matter of sexual morality. So David says, okay, he prepares himself. How does he prepare himself? The first thing he does after he hears from the Navi is what? He goes home and he has relations with his wife. Why? And this was during the day. Why? Because David figures, if I'm going to be tested, let me satisfy my desire. And this way what? This way when the test comes my way, because he was expecting the test to come right then and there. When the test comes my way, I'm satisfied. What happens? Also, it was that evening that he saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop and desired her. So according to Tosfos, it's not a din in how much, it's a din just in the way one relates to sexuality. Just so this understand, the desire for sexuality is a very strong drive within man. And the truth is, the only way that one is able to control it is if one exercises some level of restraint. Remember, I've also said, too much restraint is not good either, because the maaseh husband has obligations towards his wife. And certainly, again, even above and beyond obligations, a man can never, chas v'shalom, ever give up the impression that he's not interested in his wife. It could be, God forbid, it's a recipe for disaster in one's shalom bayis. But at the same time, again, there is this fine balance. So it also says, just be aware that don't think that the more you engage in relations, therefore the more satisfied you are, the less you will desire it. In fact, it seems to be the opposite. The more you feed the aver, so to speak, the more ultimately it desires. Shene emar, kimarisam, vayisbu'u. Literally, as they afflicted themselves, they were sated. Okay, so the Gemara seems to say that a little bit of restraint seems to go a long way in quelling the desires for sexuality. Amar Rav Chana bar Acha, Omri Bei Rav. So Rav Chana bar Acha, the name of Bei Rav, Arba Mischarit Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabram. It also is amazing. God regrets four things that he created. Pretty amazing. God regrets four things that he created. And what are they? Galus. God regrets the fact that he created the concept of Galus, that we're in this long, dark Galus. Kazdim, he regrets that he created the Kazdim, that's a nation. Yishma'elim, he regrets that he created the Yishma'elim, the Yitzhara, and he regrets that he created the Yitzhara. Galus, what is it that Chazal Baruch Hu regrets that he created Galus? Tichsiv, v'ata ma li pon um Hashem, ki lokach ami chinam. Chazal Baruch Hu says, what is here for me anymore? Because my nation has been taken for no reason. Kazdim, what does it mean that he hates that he created? He regrets that he created the Kazdim. Dechsev, Hein Eretz Kazdim, Zeha Am Lohaya. This is the land of Kazdim. I would have been happier had they never existed. Yishma'elim, what does it mean that he regrets the Yishma'elim? Dechsev, Yishlayu, or Yishlayu O Halim Lushodidim. Literally, the tents of the robbers will prosper. Ubituchos Lemargize El, and it will be security for those who anger God, la asher hevi eloka biyado, that bring God in their hands. So again, the Gemara says this is a reference to the Yishma'elim. Yetzahara, tichsiv, va'asher hari osi. Literally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the creation of the Yetzahara, I have wronged man by creating the Yetzahara. Pretty, pretty intense. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ilmalish shlosh mikraos halalu, were not for these three psukim, nismotetu raglayim shal sonim shal yisahara. I will say, were it not for the following three psukim, literally the enemies of the Jewish people would have no legs to stand on. I will say, no, enemies of the Jewish people is a euphemism for sinners, for Jewish sinners. So were it not for these three psukim, the Jewish sinners would have no leg to stand on. Dichsiv. So listen to this. Sheisra Chad, one of these psukim is Dichsiv. Va'asher Hari Osi. So one of the psukim is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have wronged the people by introducing Yetzirah. What does that mean? That the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes responsibility for creating the Yetzirah, and the fact that he realizes that he wronged us for creating the Yetzirah, does what? Absolves us of some level of guilt. What it says is that when we sin because of the Yetzirah, Ribono Shel Olam, you share in that responsibility to some degree because you created it. So at least gives us a little bit of a leg to stand on. Dechad, dechsev, one pasuk, because it says, Hine kechomer biyade yotzer kinatem. So the pasuk says, we are like chomer, we are like clay in the hand of the craftsman, which means what Rabbi Osai, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to improve our circumstances and help us from, or help us to avoid sin, he could do so. And by not doing so, he does what? He shares in some of the responsibility. V'idach, one more pasuk, v'hasirosi eslev ha'evin mibsarchem. V'nasati lachem leiv basar, I will remove the heart of stone from you, and I will give you a heart of flesh, which means what? God has the ability to remove our heart of stone. God has the ability to remove sin from us and to help us become better. And yet what? And yet he doesn't. And the fact that he doesn't indicates what? That he has some level of responsibility. Rav Papa says, Af mehai nami, even this pasuk as well. What's the pasuk? Ve'es ruchi etein bikirbacham. I will give my spirit within your bosai. So what do you see from there? That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses, he can place his spirit within us, but yet he doesn't, which then again saddles him with some level of guilt. Vayir'eini Hashem arba charoshim. So, and God showed me, again I will say this pasuk from Zechariah, God showed me the four craftsmen. Who are the four craftsmen? Maninu arba maninu arba charoshim. Amar Avchana bar Bezna, Amar Avshimon Chasida, Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyahu v'Kohen Tzedek. Who are the four craftsmen, Rabosai? They are Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyahu Hanavi, and the righteous Kohen. We'll discuss what the righteous Kohen is. Master Rabosai, again, these four craftsmen are here to help Klal Yisrael. Master Rav Sheshes says, if bless you, Ihachi, if that's the case, Hainu d'chsiv. What's the meaning of the pasuk that says, Vayomer Eli, Ela HaKronos, these are the corners, Asher Zoru Es Yehuda, that will disperse Judah. Hani l'shuva asu. But these four craftsmen are not here to disperse us. These four craftsmen are here to what? These four craftsmen are here to gather us, i.e. they're here to bring about Ke'ula. Amar Lehi said to me, Shafel l'seifa dikra. Go to the end of the pasuk. What does it say? Vayavo eila l'hacharid osam liyodos es akronos hagoyim hanosim karen el eretz yuda l'zarosa. Ultimately, again, that these craftsmen come along, lahachridosam, literally to put fear in them, liyados es kronos hagoyim, to go ahead and literally disperse the corners of the Gentile nations, hanosim keren al Yisrael, to restore back the horn, the corner to Yisrael, Yehud lazarosa. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? See from here that in fact these four craftsmen are here to bring together the Jewish people. Amar Leh, so he said, you're right. Bahadi chana ba'agarata lamali. I can't argue on Rabbi Chana when it comes to matters of agarata. V'haya ze shalom asher, ki avo ba'artinu, v'chi yadrok ba'amin osenu, v'kamnu alav shiva roem, u'shim u'shiva nesichi, u'shiva nesichi adam. So the pasuk again, Abosai says, and this pasuk again is from Micha, and the pasuk says that what will happen? V'haya ze shalom, this will happen, this peace will happen in the future. V'haya ze shalom asher, Kiyavo Bartin, Ashu will march in our land, they will trample on our palaces. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will establish for you 7 shepherds and 8 princes from men. Maninu Shivaroim, who are the 7 shepherds? David Ba'emtza, David sits in the middle of these shepherds. And what happens? David Ba'emtza, Adam Sheis u'misushalach miyamino, Adam Sheis and Misushalach are on his right. Avram Yaakov, Moshe Bismolo. And Avram Yaakov and Moshe are going to be on his left. Why Yitzchak is not there, we'll see later on. Umaninu Shmona Nesiche Adam. And who are the 8 princes? Yishai, Shaul, Shmuel, Amos, Tzefanya, Tzidkia, Umashiach, Ve'eliyahu. Those are the 8 princes. Okay. So now the Gemara takes a little bit of a break from the Agarta and goes back to the Gemara for just a moment. So remember again, the Mishnah said that by the Simchas Yisrael, they set up these lanterns. They set up these like street lights for the Azara, and there were four ladders that went up to the bowls that contained the oil, and the Pirchei Kohen, the young Kohanim, would go up with massive bowls of oil to dump into the upper bowls of oil. So the Gemara says, or massive jugs of oil, the Ibailahu, Mea Ve'esrim, excuse me, Arbos Lomos, I'm sorry, there are four ladders, Tana Gova Shomonar Chamishamama. The menoros, these menoros, these candelabra, these lanterns, were 50 amos tall. We'll say it's pretty tall, 50 amos tall. And remember, the young Kohanim of the Pirchei Kuna would go up, and they had jugs of oil on their hand, 120 luk. Does it mean that altogether they carried 120 luk? So if there are four ladders, or four Pirchei Kuna, it means that each child was carrying a jug filled with 30 luk, or does it, so together, collectively, they were 120? Or does it literally mean that each kid carried 120 luk? Tashma, the Pasai, the Brisa says, Ubiadeim Kade Shemen Shal Shloshim Shloshim Lug. The Brisa says that each child would carry in his hand a jug filled with 30 lug of oil, Shem Kulam Mea Ve'eshim Lug. And altogether it equaled what? Altogether it equaled 120 lug. So you see, each child carried a jug filled with 30 lug of oil. Tana, Vehem Yeshubachan Hayu Yosem Ibna Shal Marta Bas Baitus. And these young Kohanim are even more praiseworthy than the son of Marta, the daughter of Baitos. What was special about the son of the daughter, the son of Marta? Amru Abina Shal Marta Bas Baitos. By the way, this young man is known by his mother's name and not by his father's name. Why? Because his mother was an exceptionally prominent woman. So you see this sometimes in the Gemara where someone's mother was much more prominent than his father. He's known by his mother's name. So what was so special about the son of Marta, the daughter of Baitus? Shayanotel shte yerecho shoshor hagodol. Shoshor hagodol shalakuach pe'elefzos. Mahalech eke bitzad gudal. This young man was very strong. And what he was a kohen. He was a kohen. And what was he able to do? He was able to carry the two thighs of an ox that would be purchased for 1,000 zuz. And I will say, an ox purchased for 1,000 zuz. Is a big ox. Those are some big thighs. And what happened? He was able to go ahead and carry, one thigh. He was able to carry both thighs, one on each shoulder. And he was able to walk literally, which means small steps. You know, sometimes if you're carrying something very heavy, you have to rush to get it to the point that you could drop it down. He was able to walk very slowly, literally big toe by his heel, small measured steps, all the way up the ramp of the Mizbeach and place it down on the Mizbeach itself. That's how strong he was. But they wouldn't let him do it. They wouldn't let him do it. Why? Because literally the glory of the king is served with multitudes. What does it mean, Abosai? That remember, again, they wanted more Kohanim to participate in this process. So although he was able to carry both of these thighs, both these legs by himself, they wanted two Kohanim per leg, in order to be able to spread the wealth and get more people involved in the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now the Gemara says, "My mishbach." So what did the Gemara just say? The Gemara said that these young Pirchei Kohuna who carried up the oil to the top of the menorah, they're even greater than the son of Marta. Now, why were they greater? Either Yishum Yukra, if you want to say because the oil that they carried was heavier than the thigh of the ox, that's not true. Hani Akira Tvei, that's not true, Abosai. It's clear that the thigh of the ox was heavier than the 30 lug jug that they were carrying. So why were they greater? Ela Hasam Kevesh Umiruba below Zakif. Hachas Sulamos the Zakif Tura. Abosai, here's the difference. It is easier to carry something heavy with less of an incline. Where did the son of Marta have to carry the legs of his animal? Up the slope of the Mizbeach, which was a gradual slope, literally one amma of height for every four amos of distance. So it was a more gradual slope. So as opposed to the Pirchei Kohuna who had to what? Who had to carry something heavy, what? After a much steeper slope, because again, obviously there's a little bit of a slope, the ladder is not straight, but again, the slope is much steeper. And apparently Chazal felt it is harder to go ahead and carry even a lighter object up a steeper slope than to carry a heavier object up a more gradual slope. And that's why Chazal Laudi Chazal praised the Pirkei Kuna for carrying the heavy jugs of oil up a steeper slope. Their feat was even greater than the son of Marta Bas Baitus, who went and carried these heavy legs of the animal, up the more gradual slope of the Mizbeach. All right, so we'll stop over here, and Mir Tashem will pick up right here tomorrow morning. Give me a workout club, yeah. All right, so we'll say again, just to remind you, tomorrow we're going to start 5:45 again, another beautiful daf, but a long daf. Good morning.
Good morning.
See you.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know.